My name is Sam S. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been in the fellowship since March of 2014. And so what it was like then, I came in, I was about, I was 41. I was married. I had one child and I had another on the way. And it was at that point that I had realized, that things were not going well in my life. One, I was underemployed. Two, I was in a country where I didn't speak the language and I felt I really had no options. And three, I had a weight problem, I thought. And so I was having all those problems kind of pile up on me. And I knew I was in trouble because I had one of my binge foods was Coca-Cola. I would just drink it like 6-7 bottles a day. And I was living in a country in Asia where I kind of stand out. And I was known as the foreigner who's always carrying a Coke. And I thought that was a good way to be known. And I really wanted to stop because I knew I had a problem, but I just couldn't. And so one day I said, okay, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. But around that same time, every day when I had my bottle of Coke, my feet just walked me to the store. And it happened to be at a time when all the children were getting out of school. So we're talking like maybe second and third graders. So there I am, you know, big, tall guy. These are little kids, and I have in my hand what I'm going to buy, same thing that they're buying. And I could not stop myself. And so, but finally, I was somehow able to just cold turkey. And so that was in November of 2013. And it took me about 4 months of, you know, my wife, you know, being pregnant, we're going through that. My daughter's in school, or not in school, but working with her. And I became as angry as I've ever been in my life. And I couldn't control it at all. And I had no idea what was going to happen. And so I had heard on a podcast, somebody had mentioned going to 12 steps, not even our fellowship. So I said, okay, I'm going to find something. And so I went on the internet, found telephone meetings at first, and that really changed me around. I found a sponsor immediately, and I started working the steps, and it really did work. My sponsor was not in Asia. He was in Europe. And so there was a time difference. We had to do it through Skype, and it was a whole thing, but I figured out a way. I had the willingness to not let that logistical problem get in my way. So, and that was at the time very, very freeing for me. What I didn't realize at the time is that there's more to it. There's more than just saying I need help, that it's a complete attitude change and something else needs to change with it. And what I had realized, you know, looking back is that when I was in that place, so I was married, I had children. You know, I was going to have another child. I was not grateful for any of it. And that attitude really kind of sinks me because I didn't look around and say, okay, this is what I do have and I can maybe change and become better. I was coming at it from the position of me am in trouble. I need help. Okay. And so part of my journey in OA has been changing that attitude toward, okay, what do I have? And what can I progress to, you know, to the extent I can? And that has been my journey for a very long time. And so one of the things I have to kind of acknowledge is what I do have and what I don't have. For me, that's the definition of humility. What do I have? What don't I have? And I'm in the middle there. And I can't change what I don't have, but I can use what I do have. Okay. The one thing I didn't have at the time was some way to integrate my emotions. Because remember, there I was in November, gave out my Coke, and I was as angry as I've ever been. I knew I was angry, but I didn't know anything. What are these emotions? I did not realize until many years later, hearing a speaker saying that one of the reasons that we come into OA is that we want to get rid of those emotions. We want to somehow not have to deal with the negative side of life. And for what I did not realize is that that means I also get rid of the positive side of life. And so I've had probably seven or eight sponsors since I started. And one of my sponsors gave me or said, you know what, Sam, go on the internet and look for the wheel of emotions. I don't know if y'all can see that, but these are the things that one they give to children. And they say, okay, how are you feeling today? And you just point. You don't have to say it, you just have to point. And for me, that was a very good insight into what maybe I don't have. I don't know what any of this is, or I'm not very good at articulating it. Because to be honest, instead of pointing at the circle, I would point over here in the blank spot. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm doing right. And when I get into here, when I actually start getting the feelings, I don't know where I'm at. So that's one thing that I've learned is that I have these emotional issues just by never having, considered them worthwhile. I had that kind of re I guess I had another fellow kind of help me with that a little bit. I belong to an email loop of OAers, and we just share topics, a daily topic every day. And somebody writes something, we just talk about it. And so one day I was like saying, well, I have these emotions come up, and I'm trying to use my higher power to kind of, make sure they don't affect me. And I got some really great, or a really great reaction. She did not speak directly to me about it, but she said, I've been spending, and she had been in OA about 35 years at that point. And she said, well, I've been spending so much time trying to figure out what my emotions are that I don't, push them away. I don't use, pray to my higher power that I don't have emotions. I want to find out what they are and see how I can, integrate them into my life because they're going to be there no matter what. And that was kind of the thing that turned because looking back, what I didn't want to be was angry in when I first came in. That was my whole goal of coming in. I don't want to be angry. And I didn't realize that, oh, okay, I need to be angry. If I'm angry, I'm angry. But what does that mean? Does that mean I go eat? Or does it mean that I say, okay, why am I angry? Can I reach out to somebody? Can the feeling dissipate? It always will. Or can I do something about a situation that I can do something about? And that's kind of what OA has helped me too. And it's been being part of the fellowship by listening, by being willing to change, willing to admit that I don't know everything and listening to others. So, and that has been pretty much my journey since. Like I said, I've had multiple sponsors. And so my first sponsor worked out really well. But after a while, what I noticed is that we really weren't talking very much. And so I said, okay, well, maybe I need to find another one, another sponsor. And I also had another reason for doing that. Well, I did my step four and step five, but in my step five, I left one thing out. Okay. And so what we have to be is thorough. The book tells us we have to be thorough. It's everything, or we're not going to go to the next stage. And I left the one thing out because it was so embarrassing to me personally. Now, I found my next sponsor. I was able to, divulge that massive secret to me at the time. And I realized how small it was, that it really didn't matter. And that's something I had to do. And so with that sponsor lasted a while. Then I got another sponsor who really talked to me about the big book. How do you work the big book? Just follow the steps. It's a guide to connecting with your higher power. Can you do that? Just follow directions. That's all you have to do. And he worked out really well, but that ended up fading out. And then by the time I had, we lived overseas and then I had moved back to the States, I was without a sponsor for a while. And then I finally found one sponsor and he was great. He was, again, you have to work this every day. That's something that I heard from him. You need to work this every day. You need to call me every day. We're going to touch base a minute, 2 minutes. You're going to tell me what's up. And we did that for a while. But after a little bit, he couldn't, for whatever reason, I was in a place that he could not handle it. And I didn't think I was that bad, but, it was in his space. And so we did that for a while. And then I hit upon a sponsor who really took that to kind of the next level. You're going to talk to me every day about these things. You're going to do this many outreach. You're going to call this many people. You're going to go to this many meetings. You're going to work the big book. We're going to do a chapter a day. So it means you're going to go to steps 1, 2, 3 very quickly. And then the entire point of this is to get you sponsoring. You're going to get out and you're going to find people. You're going to talk to them. And with him, I worked for about 90 days. Unfortunately, he had a relapse and had to go out a little bit. But I learned very much from him, and I got better working with him for that 90 days because I learned that it is an everyday thing. Everything does matter. And these little things that I think don't matter, they do. It matters in my food, exactly what I'm eating. It matters in what I'm doing to recover. Before, it was kind of, oh, you know, I'll do this, I'll do that. And I credit him with, so there I am. I don't have a sponsor anymore. And I'm actually in a position where, you know, one, for various reasons, I'm going to have to go, you know, move to a different part of the state. My family's going to have to go back overseas for a little bit. I'm going to be alone, you know, finding a house for us, doing all these things that would make me want to go back to pointing over here saying, I'm okay, I'm fine, and not dealing with the emotions again. And so, but in that moment when I didn't have a sponsor, but because I had worked the steps, because I was involved in it every day, when that moment came, a realization, I realized that higher power would always be with me, that I didn't have to worry about it, that I would be taken care of no matter what. And it was a great moment. It was a feeling that changed. It was not intellectual at all. It was just a feeling that changed, an attitude changed right then. And the only thing that happened that was different in the 90 days beforehand was I had worked the steps. I had been in the program. I had been reaching out for 90 straight days. And there I was without a sponsor. Now, then it took me about, you know, another 2 days to find a sponsor. I just went with the first person who said yes. And that has been pretty much my MO since then. Who am I working with will not change. My sponsor does not guarantee and does not, you know, determine whether I'm absent or not, does not determine whether I recover or not. Because it's just another fellow on the phone I talk to. Good or bad. That's just how it works out. And so from that point, I had another sponsor. He's the one who gave me the wheel of feelings. That sponsor ended up, you know, going back into relapse. And so I had to find another one. And I've been with that current sponsor for about a year and a half. And it's worked out. So the one thing I also have learned about in just being in OA, and this goes, you know, way back to when I was on the phones. So I started out, I was overseas. I had to Skype in to these phone meetings they had at midnight because it's 12 hours difference. The only way you can really hear anybody at a time is at noon. So midnight calls on the OA line. And the one thing I heard, and I never knew kind of what to do with it, except it was interesting at the time, was that there was a fellow who shared that she had gotten so deep into sponsoring that she was kind of losing her recovery. That she was going so deep into what her sponsees were up to, their lives, their issues, that she was like fading out from recovery because she had found a way to not kind of deal with her own stuff. And that was so interesting to me. At the time, I was like, really, you can do that? I thought the actions I take here were the cure-all. As long as I'm here, everything I do will just make me better. And I realized, well, no, cunning, baffling, and powerful. That's our disease. It uses everything. And that's why we have to use everything to combat it. And I've discovered that in my own life. You know, in what ways am I using other things to avoid recovery? And so it gets much more interesting. So we're beyond the food now. So the food is, I don't want to say managed. It's one day at a time, one bite at a time. I have no control. But as I've moved up, or as I should say, I've moved on, I've had to kind of just go into, okay, what am I doing in life that is not helping me? What am I using as a way of distracting myself from becoming what I'm supposed to be? And there's lots of, or not lots of, but there's some very helpful podcasts about why people relapse. And when we're talking about relapses, how do people cut themselves off from higher power? That's what relapse is. You're just cutting myself off from my higher power. And there's a very good one on A Vision for You. It's by Janet B. And she just talks about the 17 reasons for relapse. Now, you just type that into your Google, you'll probably find a bunch of different ones. Okay, there's millions of these. But one thing that she stuck out to me, one of the 17, was that if you do not do what's required in step four, and in step four, it says, I'm paraphrasing, we're supposed to move through our fear to become what we're supposed to be in this life. If I do not continually do that, then I will relapse. So there are some fears that I have, and if I'm not moving through them, you know, with the help of higher power, then I'm not becoming what I'm supposed to be in this life. And that will lead to cutting myself off from higher power, and relapse is the only result that will happen. And so I've really had to kind of think about that for the last year, year and a half. What am I doing? Am I moving through my fears? What are those fears? Well, okay, I'm a fearful guy, so I'm afraid of a lot of things. And one of the things that, and this is kind of step one work. This is step one work. And in my travels of trying to find recovery, and one of my, I'll bring it up briefly, is that one of my ways of working the program is to find everything I can about recovery. Now, within that, there's lots of good information. People have really thought about these things. They're giving of themselves. And there's a way to do that that is completely consonant with staying connected to higher power. I would say that maybe most of the time I'm that way. The other parts of the time, I'm using it as a distraction, as a way of not connecting with my higher power, but still in recovery. And so this is from a group that talks about taking the 12 steps in 4 hours. And they have a nice little chart. So this is step one. And all it asks you to do is say, okay, what have you tried that hasn't worked? Okay, what have you tried that hasn't worked? And then what did you lose? So what part of your life did not work out because you said this was going to work? And so it's that kind of matrix. So what'd you try and it didn't work? And then what did you lose by trying it that way? And essentially, it just gets us to step one, the principle is honesty. So if I'm honest about my life, what worked, and, you know, by not working, what did it cost me? And so I have to think about those things in my life. So one thing that I've learned, again, not my great idea, heard it, you know, on one of the many podcasts I listen to, is that, okay, am I setting myself up for under-earning?
2 minutes, Sam.
Thank you. Am I setting myself up for under-earning? What that means is that I'm employed. Yeah, I have a job. But am I working at the level I should based on what I need to? Am I earning what I should be? Now, the one thing that I've learned is that, you know, earning more, earning less money, it's not a big thing for some people. It's not a big thing for me, not really. But by under-earning, by choosing to maybe not make as much money as I want, within that could be, well, I'm choosing to live in the fear. I'm choosing to live in the fear of going out and making decisions that I will have to take risks. Am I staying comfortable because I'm comfortable, or am I staying here because I'm afraid? And all I can say is that when I heard that podcast, it was like that. When I heard him say that, it was like that. Okay, I connect with that. And it's the same way that I connected in 2014 with the guy who talked about 12-step programs, and I came into OA. And so that's one of the fears I have to get through and to become what I'm supposed to be in this life. How do I do that? No idea. None. That's okay. When I came into OA, I had no idea what any of this was either. And again, I can figure it out. I can make mistakes. It doesn't matter because I'm human and that's what we do. So I want to thank everybody for giving me the chance to speak. I was just kind of rattling off stuff there, so I'm not sure how much sense it made. But for those of you who remained awake, I appreciate it. So anyway, thank you.